What is going on, everybody, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast. I am here with my beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife, my honey baby boo boo. What's going on, girl?
I'm back.
She is back. We are back in the studio.
Yes.
AKA our living room.
I know you guys were so concerned because I've been gone. Actually, no one was concerned. Not a single one of y'all messaged me asking if I was still alive. But that's okay. I see where your heart's at.
But shout out to my mom, as usual. She did wonderful. The cool thing was, when I brought her on, I had a few like questions to kind of, you know, just to keep conversation going.
Yeah.
And the moment I brought her on and said, hey, we just celebrated your 60th birthday. And I asked her, you know, what has that been like for you? Mm-hmm. And it just took off from there. So that whole thing was truly like Holy Spirit led. And Mom just brought it.
I was going to say, like, I ended up catching something when I was in Colorado, which I'm still dealing with clearly. So I was like, you should get your mom to do it. I don't feel like recording right now. So I'm so glad that she stepped in. She came in so clutch. So thanks, Mama B.
Yeah, go back, listen to it. Seriously. She talks about her biggest regret, really her only regret, but also just words of wisdom, you know. We're trying to do a better job as we're in our mid-30s, just looking at people who are much further ahead in life, you know, and just trying to learn from them.
Yeah.
Like, why learn the hard way? Well, basically, we do it ourselves and we don't learn at all.
Well, that's what your 20s are for, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Assuming you also learn from it, though, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I did a lot of that in my 20s because I never thought I would be the person that's just like, I just always thought I would, like, follow a certain path.
Yeah.
And then I get to my 20s and I'm just like, well, maybe for me, this will be a different story,
right?
So let me try it out. And it's like, oh, no, same result.
Yeah.
So let me go back to listening to those who have paved the way before me, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. She did real good. So seriously, if you guys want to just learn and grow, if you're having a moment, you're like, man, I wish someone would mentor me or pour into me. That's the episode you want to listen to. It was the most recent one. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, get a mentor if you can. If not, listen to Mama B. That's
shout out to Mama B.
Yeah.
We love you, Mom.
All right, that's our entire episode. Have a good day.
So how have you been?
I've been good. I've been like plagued.
Yeah.
I'm in my deathbed. No. I've been like sick to the point where I'm not, like, I don't have a fever or anything, but like I have this terrible cough. Like, can't use my nose, like, you know, all of that's bad. So I got my tea, I got my Ricola, so I'm good to go. And
been battling allergies really bad here.
Yeah, if I cough a lung up, mind your business. No, but I've been good, just growing, learning, becoming more of me, my true authentic self.
Come on.
I just, no. It's been a good season. It's been a good couple of weeks. I know, like, I haven't recorded since, oh my gosh, like over a month with you.
Yeah.
But it's been good. Like, just really learning about a lot of lost passions and, claiming God's identity back over my life versus, you know, just like, what does society say I was? Like, you know, who was Juby before the world told her who she was, you know?
Yeah.
And just really trying to find good mentors, good people to speak into my life. And so, yeah, it's been a good couple of weeks of just learning and growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you've been, when I've literally been watching you front row, or I guess even backstage, seeing you grow through all that, but just, you know, as open as you want to be. And I know you're still walking through the journey. So I understand also if, you know, waiting for like the proof of concept type thing to kick in. But when you say reclaiming and even claiming some, you know, past, whether it's dreams or passions, whatever, I guess talk a little bit about that. What has that been like for you? What has happened for you? Or what's taken place? Or what are things you've been doing that's been helping you kind of either rediscover yourself or even discover a newer version of yourself?
Anytime I take a sip, I'm trying not to cough because, like, this thing catches everything. Like,
oh, good. We might just have to edit y'all a couple of times, so bear with us. Okay, now you're doing that on purpose.
Mark.
Stop it.
I am your wife.
It's so annoying. See? There you go. That's what you get.
Oh, man. Okay, so, oh, man, like, we're, like, it's so many moving pieces when it comes to that. It's, I was talking to my counselor about how I've reconciled my relationship with Christ, right? I think that was the starting point mm-hmm. of reconciling my relationship with Christ, because before reconciling, like, none of what I did, like, really worked, you know?
Mm.
For example, back in 2017, the Lord gave me a word, speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just, like, really started my journey of reconciling my relationship with Christ then. And I kind of kept putting it off to the back burner, right? You know, like, I still had a lot of questions. I still had anger towards God over some things that have happened. And I was like, okay, well, this is dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why I have this word speak. And then in the last year and a half, probably a year, like, I've just really, like, reconciled a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know? Some of the things that happened, it is just what happened. And, like, I've reconciled it. Like, I stopped holding God responsible for some of the things that happened in my life, you know? I see that he was beside me grieving while all of that happened as well. Like, mm-hmm. he wasn't the perpetrator.
Mm.
He was also beside me grieving that those things happened to me. So, like, when I came into peace with that, he gave me a lot more opportunities to, like, start claiming the certain things that I've put on the back burner, which one of them is the word speak, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just put me in places where I am, like, able to talk without it being, like, a big trigger thing, mm-hmm. or I am able to share with other women, like, hey, these are things I experienced, like, if I can make it, like, everyone is hopeful, you know? So, like, so, I don't know if I'm really answering your question.
You are, well, let's start off with the first thing you said.
Yeah.
You said the first thing that you did was in terms of reclaiming not just who you are, but also rediscovering or discovering who you are. You started off with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially the first step is, you know, because maybe there's people who are listening right now. They're also in a season where they're rediscovered. Like, for me, I would say for myself, I feel like I'm in a season where I'm discovering who does God want me to become.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like they're kind of similar, but slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And bottom line, it's if people are in a season right now where they're trying to rediscover themselves, like, man, I feel like I need to know who I am. It starts with Christ,
mm-hmm.
is essentially what you said.
Yeah.
And so I love that Christ is pretty much, he's being the empowerer, mm-hmm. but as well as your source.
Right.
For this season.
Right.
I mean, so essentially that's what you're talking about so far.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, if you have a skewed perception of God, I think the healing process just takes a lot longer.
Mm.
And not to say that it won't take long.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago about God being Father. You know, we were talking to a group of women. No, actually, there were men in that group, too.
Single parents. Mm-hmm.
And I, like, after I came home, like, I just felt like the Lord was just out, like, they need to see me as Father. And that is when things will start to move forward,
mm-hmm.
you know? And until that happens, I think we can do the best counseling, the best resources money has to offer. But if your view of God is skewed, then it's, I don't want to say it's a waste of time and money, but
it won't be fully effective and efficient.
Right. It's a harder hill to climb over
mm-hmm.
than when you take the perspective of, like, whatever happened in your life or, like, the things that you're going through, that even in that, that God is for you, that he's not sitting up in heaven going, like, well, maybe in ninth grade, you shouldn't have cheated off of Sierra's test, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead he's like, right beside you, like, literally kind of going back to the whole footprint, like, hey, look back over your life, and the moment you see those single footprint, that's not you, that is God carrying you. And when you start recognizing those moments of life and, you know, knowing that God is right beside you in this journey, mm-hmm. that does start making it easier on how to reconcile your story and your past.
So here's, you actually said a couple of things that I want to restate, but also dive into more.
Of course, ask the girl with no voice, like, to keep talking.
Well, you're hitting on great points. Here's what you basically said. Your view of something impacts your approach towards something.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is we need to have an accurate one. It wasn't just that you are starting off with everything as being centered and sourced in Christ, mm-hmm. but the additional added piece is we need to have an accurate view of Christ as well as God as our Father.
Yeah.
How do we do that? What are things that has been helping you to reset your viewpoint to see God? Like, yes, God is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's all these other adjectives mm-hmm. that are biblically accurately correct. And he's also Father. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know, how has understanding that in your life, what about that has been so impactful? Why has that been such a game changer for you?
Because if I don't believe what I sing about and what I read about, then I'm wasting my time, right? I don't know, like, I feel like when we moved out of Tennessee, the thing that God kept bringing to me was complete abandon. Mm-hmm. And not like a neglect of a child, but to completely abandon self and pursue Christ. Mm-hmm. And if I am going to do a complete abandon of self and pursue Christ wholeheartedly, then I have to believe what I'm singing, what I'm reading. Because if not, then you're a psycho. Mm. You know, I mean, like, I'm a psycho. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting there reading about, like, the Lord has sent me an advocate, he sent me a helper, you know, that all I have to do is pray and ask, and he'll give me understanding. If I don't believe that, and I'm just reading it, then I'm a total psycho. Mm. Like, that's how I look at it, right? Of course, like, counseling, like, always helps. Like, I talk to my counselor. I bounce ideas off of her often. And she just gives me a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even today when I was talking to her, like, you know, I was kind of telling her, like, hey, I felt like I've attacked it from this angle and I've attacked it from this angle, so I don't really see a reason for me to go back to that narrative or to that story timeline to, like, talk about it. Like, it's done deal. And she was like, it's great that you've attacked it from this angle and this angle, but has it have, like, what you don't realize it, when it went off, like, there was also this angle that got hit with some pieces of it. So mm-hmm. now you're carrying those pieces as part of your story.
Mm.
And, like, let's also now attack it from this angle. So, like, just, you know, so I like the fact that I have this, like, non-bias. She, like, literally gives me, you know, 50 minutes of her time weekly, and she gives me, like, non-biased recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And just a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
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 No, that's good. So, in addition to seeing God as Father, getting around people who are equipped enough and patient enough to offer different perspectives of viewing things from our past.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm really asking the Lord for in this season, especially over the summer, is like, Lord, I want you to, like, simplify it for me, make it dumb for me. Because one of my passions in life is when you talk to, like, a person who's been on their journey with Christ for a really long time, it almost seems like the story, this is how I hear it in my head, right? Big influential people on stage, blah, 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 blah. When I was 17 years old, the Lord called me, and, you know, before then I was into sex, drugs, money, but, like, he changed my life around and I'm completely changed, right? And no one talks about the in-between. of like, okay, when you were 17, the Lord called you, he changed your life, but there is a journey that you had to take to be standing where you're standing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come overnight. So I remember being in college and thinking like, God, I always want to be the in-between girl. Like if you ever call me, if you ever give me influence, I want to be the in-between girl that tells people like, hey, so this happened. This is what we're going to like now focus on, because there is like literally a journey between here to here. You don't just jump.
Right. Going from the struggle you're talking about to the victory.
Right.
And you're saying a lot of people don't talk about the in-between piece.
Right. Yeah. So one of the things like I've really been praying and asking God is like for me, like I went from the journey of struggling to even say, Dear Father, when I'm praying, or to sing, He's a good, good Father, to calling Him Father when I'm praying, right? And I know it was a journey that I took, but there are steps that just happen. You know, like when you're working out or whatever, like you do something and sometimes you're just all like, wait, how did I do that? Like, what was my back like? You know, like you just do it because you're so used to it or whatever. So one of the things I'm asking the Lord is like, God, I want you to break it down simply for me on what happened between I am awkward about calling this sky person father to being like, I am in a place of complete abandon and he is my father. Like what happened? Because what I want to do is I want to be able to tell people like, hey, like if you find yourself in the same position that I found myself in, these are things I did. Like, I can always say, like, yeah, go to counseling, read your Bible. But I think it's deeper than that. Clearly, there was a moment of just being like, all right, it's clicking.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what that is so I can help others through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things as you're talking, I just love how much... I guess credit is the appropriate word that you're just giving God, you know, in this.
Yeah.
But it's really because of your view towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what also is as you spend time in the scriptures, I think you're starting to see him more as Father first. And because of that, it probably also impacts how you read.
Well, I gave him credit when everything was going wrong, too. So why would I not give him credit when everything's going right? I mean, I was good at pointing him like, it's all his fault. God doesn't care. God, you know, so, hey, give credit where it's due, right?
Well, it's interesting because I had an opportunity about a couple of weeks ago to go to another unit down in Mississippi. And I was with them for a few days and got to do a chapel service. And just a great, great group of... guys and gals down there, and not that it would quote unquote look forward to. Obviously, if I'm called to, I would do it, you know, with a confidence, you know, in a hardcore yes. But I was having a conversation with you, and I said, you know, if that unit deployed and if they needed a chaplain, I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
Which then started having me think down the road. Okay, if I'm with this unit for most likely 9 months, I would start thinking like, what would be the goal that I would want every single person in this unit to walk away with.
Yeah.
Like if I knew that I was getting them once a week for chapel services, hopefully twice a week to include Bible studies and all that stuff, what would be the thing that I would want them to walk away with if I can only give them one thing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically what you said. It's I would want them to desperately know.
God is Father.
God is Father, man.
Yeah.
It's completely... revolutionized our walk with him.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
It's a massive game. And I also want to be sensitive to people who struggle with this, because I hear you, rather it's because of past experiences, your earthly father, whatever that is. So I want to be sensitive to that. But when I hear people say, man, I can see God as everything else but Father, my heart actually breaks.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a massive, not just characteristic you're missing out on when it comes to God the Father, but you're missing out on a whole nother element of life.
Yeah.
Because everything just starts from that point. Because here's the thing. When you know that God is Father, here's the benefit. Let's talk through the benefit of it. There's a trust that's there. There is a claim of relationship that's there. There is a piece of possession. There is this posture that says, I belong to you and you belong to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no different. Like, it's different from saying, like, when I introduce you and going like, oh yeah, that's the wife, versus, hey, this is my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, and everything ebbs and flows from that. So it's funny. I was taking a walk too on Friday. And one of the questions that's brought up to the Lord is, Lord, who do you want me to be? And here's why I'm asking this for those who are, you know, joining us and listening. As we are kind of looking ahead, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's easy to look at, here are all the goals in which I want to accomplish. Here is what I want to do, which is great. But before you start asking yourself, what do I want to do? We need to back up and ask ourselves, well, who do I want to become? You know, Craig Rochelle would say, you need to have a who goal before a do goal. Mm-hmm. And we're so fixed and focused on, I have to do this, I have to do that, or I have to buy this, I have to get that promotion, I have to get this job, I have to move over here because once I get that title, or once I become a parent, or once I get married, whatever it is, there's always something next that we're creeping up that we're trying to pursue. And it's like, does that even line up with the person in which you want to become?
Yeah.
And even more so, does it even line up with who God wants you to become? So when I was just asking the Lord, I say, God, I have an idea of who I want to become. Mm-hmm. And it started off with things like, okay, I think you want to be disciplined and focused. And it was kind of words like that, you know, have good habits. And not that he doesn't want those things for me, but it went from me trying to push these things onto myself. And I remember just stopping and said, well, Father, who do you want me to become?
Yeah.
Like, based off where you're taking me and who you created me to be, yet, like, yes, I'm his son. You know, like, yeah, my identity is already in him. But I'm like, who is it that you want me to become in addition to? Like, based off of my the gifts you've given me, the personality you've given me, who do you want me to become at the benefit of you and your people? And the first one was, teach people to see me as Father, because you see how this has changed your life. That's been the first thing. And what I appreciate is, as he gave me the rest of it, he basically was saying, all of it, you're going to miss out on the rest of it if it doesn't ebb and flow from this first thing, you know. And then the second one that he gave me was, and then, I don't know, this might be another episode another time, but the other thing was, I want you to be a person that's with people. Because you know how to be present, which I do. Yeah. And that's something I'm learning this time is, you know, as you said, you're in a season of rediscovering yourself. I'm learning to be unapologetic and capitalizing on my strengths. Mm-hmm. Yes, pay attention to my weaknesses so I can grow in them, but also to not apologize for what I'm good at. And the reason for that is it's one thing when people say, man, you're a great listener. You go, okay, thank you, and you move on. Versus someone says multiple times,
yeah,
you're a great listener.
Yeah.
Because if I hear that and if that's true, it's different from me subconsciously being a great listener and then doing it even more on purpose to be a great listener. Because me being with someone then leads to the other thing you told me, which is your ability to be with people ties then to the next thing of you guiding people. Mm-hmm. You can't guide someone that you're not with. And so, all that being said, there's a couple more to it, but I'm kind of just giving a little tease, you know, and in preview to our people, because those next two things ebbed and flowed out of me knowing God as Father first.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage people who are listening and joining in right now, what would it look like for you to approach God as Father and ask him, Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. who do you want me to become as your daughter, as your son, with where you have me, where you taking me? Mm-hmm. Who do you want me to become to be the hands and feet of Jesus based off my skills, my gifts, my talents that you have given me? Who do you want me to become?
Yeah.
And it starts though with the relationship. This isn't a Santa Claus type prayer.
Right.
it's a serving, it's a servanthood mindset that says, Lord, I want to live my life well for you. And part of how we do it is by serving and being present with other people. Mm-hmm. How he's going to do that, though, is going to be different. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to know what that different is if we don't see him first as our Father.
Yeah.
So I just love that's what you're not just learning, but it's also what you're living out. And there's been a clear benefit and just difference in your life to that. Yeah. Like you, these past couple of months, I can tell you you seem lighter.
I am. I definitely am, because once you do start reclaiming pieces of your identity and who God says you are, you do walk in the confidence of who he says you are as well.
Mm.
And it's funny, like, you always hear, like, in Christian world, peace that surpasses all understanding, peace that surpasses all understanding. When you know what that peace looks like, you almost be like, oh, that's just going to be there every time.
Mm.
When Christ is in it, you know? So about a month ago, like, you know, I prayed that prayer. I was like, God, I need you to give me peace about a situation that I've been pursuing you for a year and a half. And now it's getting to the point of just being like, I need to make a decision. And I was like, and this is the specific type of peace I want you to give me. It was like a fleece moment, right? So here's the thing. If I didn't have my relationship with God, I wouldn't know to ask him that specific way.
Mm.
Right? Because you don't ask strangers specific things. You ask people you're in intimate relationship with specific things.
Like a big ask.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was a very specific way I asked him to give me peace. And as we're walking through the journey, and I was like, and I remember that moment, I'm like, yep, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now there is a couple of other big ticket items, as I like to call them, that's coming up in our life this year. And anytime I'm prone to worry about it, I'm like, nope, specific peace, Lord. Specific peace.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because if you call me to this place, to this assignment, then I know you'll give it to me. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. And that only comes from having a relationship.
Mm.
So I don't know why I started saying all that, but.
No, that's, well, you're talking about the benefits of seeing God as Father.
Yeah.
You know, and essentially what you're saying is you don't just walk with more peace. You walk with an expectation now.
Right.
And not out of arrogance.
Right.
Never. It's not even out of entitlement or out of I deserve.
Grab it,
right.
Know, yeah.
It's out of, this is who you said you are. And so you believe it.
Yeah. And I also do think, like, there's other things that I've done that's helped me along the journey. Like, one of it is, like, I'm very intentional about moving my body.
Mm.
And making sure that I'm outside getting sunlight. Just little things like that, of course, like, over time plays a big picture. But, like, even today when I was working out, I was just like, man, for the first time in my athletic life, you know, I've been working out since I was, like, in middle school. I've been in sports since I was in middle school. I've never seen the mind-body correlation till this season.
Mm.
In this season when I'm just like, okay, God, like, we're going to rebuild, like, in multiple, like, you know, kind of how I told my counselor, like, I've attacked it from here. So now, like, we're attacking it from multiple, you know, ways. So I'm taking care of myself mentally. I'm taking care of myself physically. And I'm doing a soul care where I actually pause and ponder with God. Whereas before, I just make a decision and just, like, hope God's blessing is on it. And, like, I felt the rush to make a decision.
Mm.
Like, if I didn't make a decision, then this opportunity's passed me by. And, like, I've just started taking pauses more. I'm just like, well, if this opportunity's for me, it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean, like, I meander the day away.
Right.
You know, I do my part as well, but Yeah, I think like just doing that, just attacking it from every view or every angle has also really helped, you know.
Multiple angles, meaning spiritually, physically.
And emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah. It's interesting when you talked about the whole mind-body type thing. You know me, I love walks. Mm-hmm. And but part of the reason why I like walks, it's low energy, mm-hmm. But it gets me out, you mm-hmm. know, of just being where I'm at. And, you know, I just kind of earlier, you know, just talked about how I had this long conversation with the Lord regarding, you know, who does he want me to become? The whole thing was in an hour mm-hmm. walk. It wasn't me just sitting. Now, the Lord also moves in those moments too.
Of course.
You know, but I've had some of my best epiphanies in moments with the Lord on walks.
Yeah.
I think there is something to be said. I don't know the science or anything like that behind it, but I don't know. I think there's something to be said. And again, when you think about a relationship, of we have some of our best conversations on walks. Mm-hmm. And when we go to a park or a trail, we have no agenda just to be present with each other.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said, like you're getting your body moving, you know? And I think part of it is because as you're moving your body, you're naturally, physically, literally working out your stressors.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think there's something to be said. And as you're physically working out those stressors, it positions your mind and your heart to kind of be more receptive mm-hmm. to whatever is going on.
Yeah.
Something I learned from my old boss, Colonel Lang, who was, you know, a child trained psychiatrist. They will give kids a toy or an action figure or something like that. And part of what they're doing is to loosen up their yeah, mind.
Play therapy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so I just wonder, I'm like, if that's true for kids, yeah. you know, or heck, something else to notice that, like I said, I just went to that unit a couple of weeks ago. I have this love hate relationship with range day, you know, I'm mm-hmm. qualifying at the range because since I'm a chaplain, I'm a non-combatant. So
yeah.
not only can I not shoot, I can't even touch weapons, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember for the longest time, I'm like, so I'm going to go there and just literally twiddle thumbs. And I remember I used to be so frustrated, but in the time there, soldiers open up to me in a way that they wouldn't if we were back in the office. There's something about being outdoors. You're doing, in this case, they're being active with their weapons mm-hmm. or the other things I can help with before loading or uploading, unloading equipment or loading equipment, anything I can do where I'm being around them, they're just more loose
yeah.
and they're more open. And the things that I hear, which literally led to someone sharing with me how their parent passed away, just because I was there and they're physically up yeah. and moving, you know?
I was going to say that's part of the reason why I had a Zen garden in my office at my previous job. Because it is like, I just started noticing, like at first when I didn't have it, they would still come but they would like twiddle with things around my office. And I saw like, interesting. So I got a Zen garden and I noticed people just come sit and they're like, just like mindlessly.
Oh, you're talking about the little sandbox thing. Mm-hmm. That you, yes. Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then they're like playing with the sand and, you know, building buildings, whatever. And before I know it, like, I'm just hearing everything that's going on with their life. And
I forgot
like,
about that. Yeah.
That was one of the main reasons why I was, and in fact, I wanted to get a bigger one. But yeah, but part of the reason why I had a Zen garden, / the play sand in my office, cause it even works with adults. It's not just kids, you know, like
well, that was the majority of people that was coming to your office.
Right. But, I mean, kids would come and they would right, play with right, it or whatever, right. you know, and they'll tell me like, you know, teenagers will tell
exactly.
me like what's going on.
For
and
sure,
I'm like,
yep.
But it also worked with adults, you know?
Mm.
And I will say this one last thing before we, you know, wrap up or whatever. I am also very careful about what I feed my soul as far in this season.
Okay.
Like,
you're going to have to dive into that.
Like, as far as what I listen to, like, I don't really listen to a lot of secular music anymore, mm-hmm. even as background noise. Just because some of it is like, God, like, don't come for me, please. But some of it's just like really stupid messages. Like when you really sit down and look at the lyrics and I'm like, this is so dumb. Like, why? And I'm not even just talking about...
Why would God come for you for that?
No, I said, don't...
Like, oh, I thought you said, God, don't come for me.
No, no, no. I said, oh, like, God.
Oh, okay.
Period.
Gotcha.
Exclamation point.
Okay.
Don't come for me.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but like, and I'm, it's not just current day music. It's mm-hmm. music I grew up on too. Mm-hmm. Like, I listen to some of the stuff. Like, I love listening to throwback stations. And I'm like, that's what the song said? Like, there's just, you know, but there is like.
The true test is to print the lyrics.
Yeah.
Or Google the lyrics. It makes you rethink what you're listening yeah. to.
And yeah. I'm not saying like I've completely cut secular music out. Like, I'll still listen to like a good throwback station here and there, but I'm very careful just because like the mood they were in when they created that music, it almost transfers onto me sometimes. Like, it can make me cynical. It can make me hard-hearted, you know, like, so I'm really careful about that. I'm careful about what I watch on YouTube. Like, I know you love listening to commentaries on YouTube or whatever, and sometimes I just have to even shut that off because I have to tell myself, like, I need my brain to come up with its own opinions and mm-hmm. not listen to the opinions of others, because mm-hmm. I clearly have an opinion. And mm-hmm. for me, that's part of claiming back my voice and that speak thing that I talked about earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm careful about that. I'm careful about what I watch on TikTok. Like, if it doesn't serve my soul, like, because, like, as soon as it'll start playing, I'm like, how is this helping me mm-hmm. scroll? You know, so I have become a lot more careful about what I listen to and how I listen to it. What frame of mind am I in?
Mm.
Is this going to be re-triggering in any way? You know, like, we just recently watched a documentary and I had to be like, I had to ask myself, are you mentally okay with watching this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can get re-triggered?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this can hurt you? Do you think this can hurt your relationship with God and how you view him once you hear some of these comments? And I was like, I think I'm good. So I'm like, let me just see.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the first episode. I'm like, yep, yeah, it's fine. All right, cool. Like, I was in a, like, but I really did have to ask myself, I was mm-hmm. like, are you going to be okay? And is your relationship with God going to be okay? Like, and not that God will smite me for watching it, but like,
yeah.
will it turn me cynical? Yeah. You know, right? So like, what I got out of that documentary was it actually broke my heart for a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't make me cynical.
Mm-hmm.
It made me empathize.
Mm-hmm.
It,
humanized, I was like, too.
Okay, cool. You know? Yeah. So like, even when it comes to just watching stuff, I just have to be like, because I just know where I've come from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know how easy it is for me to slip back into a cynical state of mind and not empathize and all of that. So I literally have to just ask myself, like, is this the best thing for my soul and my being right now?
Here's what I love about everything you just said, babe. You're constantly reassessing where you're at.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that we all need to do and take away when it comes to renaming/reclaiming who we are, again, specifically in Christ. So if we want to reclaim who we are and rediscover, you know, I love David's prayer, like, search me, oh God, and mm-hmm. know my thoughts. You know, it's, does the Lord have permission to actually enter your mind?
Yeah.
And not in this place of, I hope he doesn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's God, here I am. All of me, the good and the bad, and for sure the ugly. Can you please point out where I'm off?
Yeah.
Where I'm messed up, where I'm uncentered. That's something that's, I've been using that word a lot for me, is yeah. am I uncentered today? Where am I off balance? Where am I ungrounded or not grounded? You know, the word I like to use is, am I anchored today? And so I just want to encourage all of you who are watching and listening, if you want to reclaim who you are, number one, you got to go back to the source, which is Jesus Christ, and then seeing God as your Father. Yes, he is the great I am. Yes, he is Yahweh. Yes, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is your Father. It's the word that Jesus used the most.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, in terms of reconnecting with the Lord, and, you know, feel free to chime in. Yes, reading your scripture. I'm telling you, for me, especially actually when I don't feel like it, yes, believe it or not, I don't always feel like praying. When I don't feel like it,
That's part of the reason why I do walks. There's something about going on a walk that just gets me in a zone. And it's okay for you to not feel like doing something in order for you to do something. That's the beauty about God, is that he's not petty.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't have to feel right in order to move in the right direction to spend time with God. And literally 1-2 minutes in, I immediately get in the zone. So for me, walks work wonders. And then I'll find a bench or a brick wall or something like that to sit on and just be still. That's the reason why Juby will tell you I'll be gone 30 minutes to an hour at a time, just because I feel like I can be more of who I am. I work my body out. Other things, find people that you can trust. You know, Juby talked about a counselor, but who are people in your corner that you know is not going to be a yes man / yes woman to you? They're going to hear you, they're going to listen to you, and give you different perspectives and feedback. And again, you have permission to wrestle with this as well.
Yeah.
So don't think, oh, I'm struggling with seeing God as Father, and you got to have it nailed down by tomorrow. And if you do, man, we celebrate that. But I just love all those different things that you talked about.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was looking for something, and our little brother JT told me this. Like, he said it to me when we were in Atlanta back in February, and it just stuck out to me. It was like piercing, you know, of all the things that he said, you know, the time we were together. And like, I was just like, I messaged him. I was just like, hey, what is that thing you said? You know, because on days I don't, like you said, you know, I don't feel like doing it. Because there are times like, you know, you come back from a really great service and you're on that spiritual high and you're like, I'm going to do. And we were actually talking about working out, and JT said, motivation starts you, but discipline keeps you. And then he was like, when motivation is gone, discipline has to kick in. So on the days, like, I mean, working out, like, it's still not my favorite thing. I see like a lot of, you know, benefits to it. It's not my favorite thing. I literally have to tell myself, it's like, okay, JB, your motivation's gone. So you have to be disciplined today.
It's good.
You know, and that's in everything in life. You know, it's like, I don't feel like reading the Bible. Okay, the high of the Sunday sermon's gone, but I have to be disciplined enough to do it. You know, and just finding fun ways to do it, because sometimes I don't feel like doing like a whole workout. Like today was one of those days I was like, man, do I just keep it simple and just do like a 30-minute walk, you know? But and that is okay too. Like if you want to just do a 30-minute walk, or like, you know, or you want to pray when you're driving, it's not how you do it, it's just the fact that you do it. You know? So yeah, like that's just something that keeps me and brings me back to center.
Yeah.
Like I always think about what he said. And I was all like, I'm going to put that on a t-shirt and in every color. And just, yeah.
No, that's good. If you live life always waiting to be motivated, you may not ever do it.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be disciplined.
Yeah.
You know, as Dad told my sister and I when we were kids, Dad, I don't feel like going to school today. That's okay. You don't have to feel like going. You don't have to go to school. I said, no. I'm saying it's okay. You don't feel like going, but you're still going to go to school. And then he said, son, the true definition of discipline is doing what needs to be done despite how you feel.
Yeah.
We were never motivated to go to school, but we were disciplined.
When I think about like my niece, you know, she's so excited to go to school every day. I'm like, ooh. Like, you do realize you have like 18 years of this, right?
Right. And but she loves it.
She loves it. Like, she will like, if she's on an extended break, homie will get up at 3:30 in the morning and get ready and just stay in the living room.
Yeah, she's dreading her first summer break right now.
I think we are too.
Well, man, babe, that was a great conversation.
Yeah.
I love this. I hope this was beneficial to you. Of course, if you guys are loving this, please share this more than anything. Share it. You can post it and tag us in it on Instagram. And we'd love to hear you guys' feedback, any wins and all that good stuff. Leave reviews. And yeah, we appreciate you, babe. Any other final words or last thoughts?
No, just grace, peace, and cough out.
Later, guys.